We heard you missed us. We're back. It's live from the five hole. Faxes from UncleDale.com's and the Sam Fells, but who's buying newsletters? Official weekly podcast. I am Sam Fells of that newsletter and the host of this extravaganza. You can find me on Blue Sky at Fells Gate. We are coming to you. This might be our most glorious podcast. And we've done post Stanley Cup podcasts, I think. I can't remember, honestly. I don't believe we did a post World Series one.
We did. So. We did one in 2010, not 2013 or 2015.
Right. We were younger then. We didn't know. We were older then. We're so much younger than that now.
Well, we didn't think that there was any interest in 2013.
Right.
And
in 2010, we hadn't yet become the best Bears podcast in town.
Well,
because we are now.
We had some Mando's infestation at those times.
But we are the best Bears podcast in town now, so we have lots of things to get through. We will look back, we will look forward, and then we will look sideways to the west side, maybe quickly at the end. So, of course, we are in fatal four-way formation with the usual crew. Leading off with Dr. Viral, he is the biggest jackass no-talent in the business, and he's the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 Central. You can find him on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. It's Andrew Cieslak.
Fuck ice.
Indeed. Goes for everyone of the year. He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. You've already heard his dulcet tones. He is our supervising technician and our technical supervisor, and he's Hollywood's go-to grizzled crank. You can find him on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. Strangely, it's Matt McClure.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan, indeed. And last but not least, he is the archivist. He is the goal line assassin. He is the Oracle of Humboldt Park, and he is coming to us somewhere from northern Manitoba and nude. He has not stopped running since Saturday night. It's Fifth Feather John.
I'm still covered in Vaseline.
As you should be. You got to look out for a free. I almost said freezer burn.
Same thing.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. Wind burn, hypothermia, whatever it may be.
Gotta stay safe.
Gentlemen, I don't know where to start. I know that on Saturday night, I was drawing up a list of questions that I had labeled practical questions for the season. And I'm like, this is the podcast we're going to have to do. We're going to have to ask some hard questions about the 4 months we'd seen, the splat of an ending that certainly felt like it was coming. And I don't know if we'll get to them at all tonight. I don't know that we need to. And I felt that way. This probably gets to our good friend Brendan McGowan's question. I felt that way probably until the ball landed in Roma Dunze's hands. Not during the throw, mind you, because there was not 1 second while that ball that was in the air that I thought it was landing anywhere near a bear. And then it did. And I was like, something is up here. I don't have the capability to put this all into words. I know that after the game, I threw my arms around my buddy who I've watched every Bears game with now for 10, 15 years. And I said, this is our best moment as a Bears fan. And I don't think there's any argument on that one.
No.
No, that's true. That is a hard fact.
It is a hard fact. It's a little sobering. And I guess the only thing I'd be disappointed by was as we've discussed on the real show, I didn't enjoy DJ Moore's touchdown enough. All I kept looking at was the clock.
Mm-hmm. And it's fair.
Yeah, the reaction was very muted at my house as well, Sam, on that touchdown pass, because I was hoping that they were going to take it down to at least under a minute. But hey, you got to score when you can score, and
if you get the guy wide open like that,
yep. And given the situation, how Green Bay had already burned through two of their timeouts unnecessarily, I still felt pretty good about it with that much time left. Because
at least they got the 2 minute. At least they got the 2 minute warning knocked out. Like that
right.
was the first play, if I remember correctly, on a rewatch last night. Thank you for the heads up on that, John.
Mm-hmm.
Got the NFL Network in a condo in Petoskey, Michigan. So thank you very much. And I'm pretty sure that was the first play out of the 2 minute warning. The touchdown to
close.
DJ.
Well, I think it was the second one.
Second one. Because Swift's screen pass or whatever quick out.
Okay,
they went for like 20 yards.
Correct. Okay.
And then, the third and four conversion was out of the 2-minute warning. Then the swift play, and then the touchdown. I felt like I was uneasy about it, but I started to feel better as I thought it through. Like, Green Bay was going to pay for burning through those two timeouts unnecessarily. The one was because they didn't have enough guys on the field, or they were going to get a penalty. And then the other one was
something stupid.
It was an unnecessary timeout. I think it was coming out. Yeah, I honestly, oh, geez, I don't.
It was
don't
just
even
to save. You know, it was saving off a delay of game or something. Or...
Yeah, I think it was to save a delay of game. But they were two unforced errors, and I felt like that was something where it was going to come back to bite them. So I felt still about as confident as you can feel in a situation like that, given the Bears' history this season and everything else. But
Real show, I felt like Sam was the one who kept kind of, even though I couldn't tell, but it sounds like you were as despairing as maybe I was.
I was on my own Cizlak journey during that game.
If you weren't, I would really question if you even gave a shit. You know what I mean?
I was trying to remain upbeat because, you know, obviously with this Bears team, we know if they're in any sort of range, there's a chance. But when they didn't recover the fumble from the dunce offensive lineman split out wide, I was like, that was it. That was the moment.
You said it a few times before the comeback in earnest began, and you were kind of saying it in a way where you're like, they keep giving us an opening and they're not taking it. And then they just kept giving more openings.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, the Bears could have put up like 42 points in the second half if they wanted to.
It was crazy.
They didn't. The funny thing is that Green Bay never even gave us enough time to wallow in the Bears not recovering that fumble, because they went three and out right after they got that first down.
Yep,
so the Bears ended up getting the ball right back. So it wasn't even like we could feel that bad about it.
Right.
And then Duvernay took it to the 35-yard line.
The stops so were happening
were right
so
back,
quickly that
they,
it was
yeah,
almost
they were essentially
you
right
almost
back
didn't even
where they
realize
started.
Like, wait, they're actually stopping them and getting the ball back. What,
I think
what
had thrown me off is that usually when that ball this season, and I guess I'd have to go back and check if this is actually how it worked, but at least it feels this way. And you know, I'm a vibes guy, John.
Oh, of course,
long time vibes guy.
That when that Bears ball starts rolling, when the defense actually gets stops and those comebacks start, it's all pretty instant. Like if they start getting stops, they start getting scores. And what threw me off on Saturday was they were getting the stops. Like, the defense finally came to play, and they were getting stops, and then the scores weren't coming.
Right.
And it's like, because well...
I'm sorry, go ahead, Sam.
It's like, you're throwing me off a rhythm here. This is not what I'm used to, and these stops aren't going to continue. And they did get the one touchdown. But I'm like, well, now this is too close. This is still... They're going to go down and score on this, and then we'll
see.
The
second Caleb interception was just like... I was like, okay, That's got
to
be it.
That was one of my practical questions, which we don't have to get to. We can save all that for when they actually do lose, if they lose. I have to throw that caveat in there now. But, yeah, that was one of the notes I was, like, writing down. I was like, we're going to have to talk about this. Ben's too, your hubris. You know. And I will say, I don't
real
know
quick,
if any...
we can talk about this fast. Kaylin Kaler, I think, was on the score or something, and she mentioned that the Bears going for it on fourth down constantly, aggressively, and in places that no analytics supports are based on some stat that the Packers like literally have the longest possession in the league and like the fewest drives. So you just don't get the ball. So they were just like, we're not going to give the ball back to you. We're just going to try to get these first downs. And so there was something behind it, but I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt here, because it's not like he was Brandon Staley all season, just, you know, going for it on fourth down constantly. I mean, the Bears punted quite a bit. I mean, that was almost out of character, the amount of fourth downs they were, going for. So I do think that there is probably something to that.
Literally the week previous, he bitched out on the exact situation that he could have.
For it. I didn't have a problem with him going for it. I had a problem with some of the play calls, but I was being a meatball, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, It's the difference between what you know and what you feel. I know Ben sees every play as a chance to pick up a lot of yards. He's, you know, fourth and one does not mean get one. It means get 15.
Right.
But what I feel is after watching decades of Bears football, I'm like, that's not what you do. We can't do that. We're not ready. And I will say, for those of you who watch, if you have a similar group of friends you watch every game with or regularly with, I was watching with my usual crew, and somewhere in the third quarter, even though I hadn't said really a word to my friend Dave in about an hour and a half, he turns to my friend Craig, just goes, I'm never speaking to Sam again.
Why? What did you do?
Nothing. He just decided it was all my fault.
Things were desperate.
He was so angry. He was pointing in his drunken rage. I'm never speaking to him again. He will be always associated with this night. And I can't have it again, basically.
I didn't. Well, I was sitting next to Emily for the first half. She stayed for only the first half. She went up. She's like, I'm just going to go to bed. She wasn't mad at me, but she's like, you're not in a great mood right now. And
no,
then
after, nor are you supposed to be.
Right. And I was like, you know, I'm not trying to, you know. But after the game, she told me, she said, I wanted to say to you, they're going to come back. But I knew if I did, you would just get more mad. So I didn't say it.
You would get more mad.
I would have said, fuck you, fuck that. And also, she was like, didn't you think they were going to come back? And I'm like, no.
No. No matter how many times they do it, I'm never going to believe they're going to come back. No.
Yeah, I think some of it needs some inner soul searching for us, because I do think that it was plainly obvious that they were going to come back to clearly unbiased observers, but we are just way too biased.
We're also working on that muscle. Like, think about it from the reverse perspective, where I use the example of the Khalil Mack debut, where it's great. Great first half, but this is not gonna last. Like, this, Aaron Rodgers is gonna do his thing or whatever, and they're gonna fuck this up. And that was the case for such a long time. That doesn't happen in year one of this reverse of those things that are now happening to them. They don't believe it. They didn't believe it as it was happening, even though they saw it once already 4 weeks ago. And we don't believe it yet because it's still the Packers, and that hasn't switched yet, but it's switching. And it won't be long, like when the Hawks were down 5-2 in the third, and we were like, they're going to win.
Right,
you guys remember,
right.
that was reality. That's how it was.
Well, Sam will tell you the opposite. I would pull the opposite move at watching games, road watches, or whenever with him as his friend, I'm never talking to you again, or even just via text. It was a two-word phrase.
They're coming. And they always did.
And now this is where the Bears are heading. I think the thing that people who want to be optimistic outside of during the game where you're allowed to lose your mind, Sam and I have established.
And John.
This is like, you know, like Sam said, this fourth and one, Ben goes for 15. And we're like, no, just get the one. But this is the first year of everyone getting used to that. I don't know how you could not look ahead and think, oh my God, if they don't have to do a full game of playing offensively, like that, but if they just do one extra quarter, they're putting up 45 points a game. I mean, it's going to be pretty cool. It's exciting. It's already cool. It's going to get cooler.
It's already the coolest thing that's ever happened to us.
Right. They literally said the first year we're going to make all your dreams come true. Like, you're a Make-A-Wish kid. And now imagine what we can do after we've had more time to put this in place. It's nuts, dude. It's nuts.
Yeah, it sounds so silly because I know Slack's a year older than I am, but I say none of us remember 1985. If we do, it's, you know, in snippets. We don't, it's not like we remember the whole season. You know, and it sounds silly that a wild card round win is better than an NFC championship, but it is. It just is.
Well, like that and in that way too,
right? In that fashion, over who it was, it's just, I don't know. I'm out of words. Anyway, John,
it's very surreal. It's very surreal. It's unprecedented. Yeah. There's no, Sam, you wrote. I've read your piece from Monday, which was really good. Comparing, you know, talking about the Wings series in 2013, and then the NLDS in 2015. And I do see the parallels there, but I mean, to me, this is just completely unprecedented, unparalleled.
It is.
If anything that I've experienced as a Chicago fan, just because it's the Bears. And
they don't do this.
They're so out of character. It's just so out of character. I would have never dreamed in my wildest dreams that they would be capable of winning a playoff game like that, let alone against Green Bay.
It's a rough comparison because obviously the Hawks were already one-time champions. And, you know, okay, the Cubs were the lower seed that year, but they still had won 97 games that year. I mean, they were a powerhouse, whether they liked it or not. You know, the Bears are still, I don't think I'm surprised here, but they're still highly flawed. Hardly the finished article.
Yeah, and they're in the final eight.
Right.
Final four of the NFC. They're a flawed team. Like, that's
it's the middle of January, and they're still playing.
Yes.
At
they're
home.
The only non-NFC West team left in the league. In the
with a playoff game at home.
And a chance to have another one if
things fall right.
If the Niners can figure out how to win, which probably won't, but whatever.
I mean, there's no one left, but we'll get to that.
I just think the idea of a third home playoff game in one season is fucking insane.
Even a third playoff game. I mean, it's never happened.
Even
I can't remember the last time it's happened.
In general, yeah. But all of them being
Super Bowl
year.
Yeah.
Right, but they only had... I mean, the times they've gotten to an NFC Championship, they had the bye, right?
Always.
Yeah, it was Giants, Rams, and then Super Bowl, correct?
Right. But then it was Seahawks, Packers lose, and then it was... Before that was Seahawks, Saints.
Right.
Like, in 88... Yeah, in 2010 and 88, they were the division. They had the divisional bye.
Right.
84 was still that weird time when there was only one wild card team, so three out of the four playoff teams got a bye, or three out of the five playoff teams got a bye. So they just went straight to Washington and beat Washington in 84. So yeah, they've never played three NFC playoff games in a season.
And they still might not. We're not getting ahead of ourselves.
No, not at all. But it's something that's never happened. You're correct. Just this last Saturday was something that had never happened. I mean, it's just I don't even know how to. I guess, you know, I'm not a Cubs guy, so I don't know. But I do feel like when they flash some of those stats where it's just so, like the largest playoff comeback in Bears history has been 7 points. And they're the founding organization of the league. So they've been around for 100 and God knows how many years now. And the most they've ever come back in a playoff game is a touchdown.
Right. And also it's like a sample. It's a sample of like 25 playoff games. Which
yeah,
is
yeah
not
their
a lot,
history
yeah.
was like either be the best team in the league by a lot. And that was mostly before any of us were born. Mm-hmm. 1985 or just barely get in and suck.
Well, yeah, Sam, that's a good point. I don't know if that was counted the NFL playoffs pre-Super Bowl or not, but I'm sure it did.
Because there just aren't that many playoff games in the Super Bowl era.
Right,
just,
like, right. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's surreal to me. I was driving home the other day and just thinking about it, and it still felt not real to me. Like,
yeah.
And the fact that it was, and if, just think about how this season started and where Green Bay was and what people were saying about them. Mm-hmm. And for the Bears to be the team that knocked them out of the playoffs, you know, they were the Super Bowl favorite, Green Bay. If you go back and look back at what people were saying in the first few weeks of the season, they were making those comparisons to Jordan Love and Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers about how they were all the same age when they won their Super Bowl. And now they didn't even make it out of the first round.
Seven seed out again.
Yeah, and it's because of the Bears. Well, the seven seed also is because the Bears beat them in week 16.
Right.
So, I mean, I can't even fathom it. I mean, we've talked about it in the best shows of the year for God knows how many years now, just, you know, fantasizing about what that'll be. And it actually happened, and it's better than I could have ever imagined. even in my wildest dreams, when we talk about it, I think if you go back and listen to a few of those shows, we had similar scenarios. I think it was when Fields was here, maybe when Mitch too, that it was going to come down to the last game of the year against Green Bay, and then they'd play Green Bay in the playoffs, and they'd beat Green Bay. And just thinking about that, it doesn't even come close to how it actually felt.
No,
it still continues to feel good. But yeah, I mean, that to me has been the glow continues, and I don't think the glow is going to go away for quite some time.
I should
no, because this win allows you to go into the off season with all the bragging rights you could imagine, and no matter what the Rams do to you, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a separate conversation. Obviously, it matters, but at the end of the day, if they lose, you still just like. You'll look at a Packer fan anywhere you see them writing about something, and it'll be, we had injuries, and we blew the game. It wasn't like you guys won anything. It'd be like, yeah, you guys lost. You lost.
Yeah, but you lost.
But you lost.
Yeah, you blew the game. How does that make you feel better?
You lost. Your coach is almost a lame duck at this point. Your fan base is irate. Yeah, sounds like things are going great, I guess. I'm glad you figured out a way to rationalize the whole thing.
I should also tell the kids that Slack and John's sleep podcast and the lullabies they play to their young children is actually just the loop of Packers streamers melting down on the last drive. They just put that on loop.
$55 million quarterback that can't get you out of the first round.
I have watched so many.
I don't understand how those people don't get dinged for, you can't do play-by-play.
But apparently you can.
They're not showing anything.
But like,
they're not like showing you the game.
I mean, you're still doing like a radio broadcast of it.
I don't know. How
who are the freaks that listen to that, though? And yeah, how do you police that? And who are the freaks that listen to it?
I don't know.
Also, thousands of people.
I know every team probably has people that do this, but I never really heard about it until I saw these Packer freaks all doing it.
Yeah. It's the most bizarre thing.
They're such weird people. And they think that we're weird for a reason that is so weird to me. They think we're weird because we're so excited that we beat them.
Yeah. I mean, I remember what they were like in 89. I remember.
They're like, oh, yeah, it's your Super Bowl. Yeah. It was.
Yeah, it really is.
It fucking was. It's awesome. And if you think it's cool to pretend like you didn't care about that game, you're a complete fucking loser.
And a liar.
And a liar. But you're a fucking loser. Like, if you can't even say it was heartbreaking because we lost that game, that's pathetic. That's really pathetic.
It's like the same thing you tell Yankees fans who try and make fun of you, White Sox or Cubs, for having one World Series when they have 27. It's like, yeah, and that one World Series means more to me than all of yours do combined. I know something you'll never know. Like, you'll never experience this.
Exactly right.
I don't know if he posted it. Our good friend Brendan did a collage of all his Packers streamers melting down, interspersed with just a multi-screen of Bears streamers just going, ah! And then back to the Packers fan melting down. I will ask him to post it if he hasn't. But it's great stuff. Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, I suppose the idea is that if you don't go out to the bar to watch with friends, you can sign on to this feed and have the chat, and it feels like you're watching with friends, I guess.
I guess. I don't know. It just feels like a very odd.
It's where we probably need to, you know, release some grenades, but whatever.
Yeah. I mean, come on, gang. The Mute Lounge is available for all, and it's the most peaceful place on earth. You don't need to. You don't need to.
Did you watch that game on mute?
No, of course not. But I'm saying,
oh, I did actually.
If you,
for some of
that's it. Why people. I assume that's why people listen to those freaks doing this like simulcast or whatever. It's because they don't want to listen to
why though?
I don't know, because like, they're not homer enough for the Packers.
But they are. Every national broadcast sucks the whole game.
Right. Right. Well, that's how deranged they are, I guess. It's not homer enough for them.
Yeah, every pregame show, every week.
But I assume,
show.
Sam, that would be the psychosis behind doing something like that, is because you don't want to listen to the broadcast. You want to listen to these guys who are going to tell it to you like it is.
Hey, I mean, we have to keep in mind, we did have a few freaks tune into us doing the same thing for a Hawks game once.
Yeah,
Yeah,
we were at
regular
the
season
cutting
game
edge
where
of
we
it,
were
and then we
jacking
realized that it was
around.
right, and then we realized it was not a fun thing to do. And why would you
No,
want to listen to it? And
yeah, not even as drunk as we were. Like, it wasn't that good of
and
an
somebody's
idea.
wife threatened to divorce him if
I
he
don't think
continued to
they
listen
threatened.
to
I
it.
think they got divorced.
Oh, okay.
They should have.
So I mean, we understood. We were on the ground floor of that and said, okay,
I mean,
this is not where
I'm
things need
sure
to
there are
go.
freaks for that for every team in every sport,
Oh, of course, like Andrew said.
but the Packers ones are especially, you know, I mean, I, you
It's the
know, I.
same utter disbelief about that anyone could possibly be annoyed by them
I
as Red Wings fans.
I don't want to sound short-sighted, but the idea that there's even internet in northern Wisconsin is still kind of a surprise to me.
And we still haven't even talked about the funniest one, which Andrew posted a screenshot of with the guy with his inflatable helmets, and then he's got the running stream of comments and some guy talking about how his wife is dead or presumed missing and slash murdered, you know, copping to essentially killing his wife and saying, "Thanks for always keeping my spirits up."
These people are insane.
Yeah, it's
And then the other thing that we still haven't touched on, which had me just in pure delight, and I think Andrew in tears. I don't know how it could get any better. You had the head coach screaming, "Fuck the Packers," at the top of his lungs in the winning locker room.
Yeah, and then he's tripled down on it ever since.
Yeah,
Right.
they keep
Yeah,
asking about
he's
it. He's like, yep,
and also the
yeah,
owner has
boss
my
agrees with
back.
me.
Yeah.
George said we're good, so we're
George said
good.
we're good, so I don't care.
Fucking
Yeah,
amazing.
you know, there's another thing where I'm fighting reflexes, you know, because at first you're like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to take the high road and let them bitch? But he's like, no, they're going to cry about it all winter.
Yeah.
They're going to make this game more personal next year, and we'll just be more prepared and more
Oh, it's gonna be
relaxed about it.
so good.
Yep.
So good.
I don't,
They're ruined by this.
you know, when, and everyone knows who listens to this podcast that I was a Lovie guy, but when like Lovie was doing this stuff, you know, it always felt like a little like pandering. And that's fine. You got to get your fans behind you, and that's one way to do it. When Ben does it, like, no, he genuinely does not like that guy.
Well, that's the thing about him. He is an extremely authentic person.
Right.
So everything you're
So.
getting feels real. And I think that is very much part of why this team is where it is, because the players see real from him. They don't see a guy giving you a churched up little speech. They don't see a guy, you know, making up fake shit. Like, this guy is just like, he bleeds everything that he thinks. And when you ask him, I think 99% head coach has been like, "I was pretty fired up about that. I might have misspoken there, and you know, or that should have been private." He's like, "No, it's a rivalry. It needs to be one. I don't like them."
I mean, Neither do I.
there's a reason
I
for it
don't.
because, right, you beat them and they spend the next 3 weeks going, we want to play them again. That was fake. That wasn't real. You know,
Yeah.
we gave it to them. You know, discounting your win, discounting all this. Then you beat them again. And it's the same story. It's like, why should he like them?
Correct.
Yeah, I don't understand. What do you want from them? Like,
Right.
do you want this? Do you want this sport to be entertaining, or do you want it to be extremely boring like the NHL, where
Yeah.
nobody can say anything mean about anybody ever? Which is weird because it's hockey and they're the foulest mouthed human beings on the
And they're
planet.
calling each other slurs on the ice.
It's
Yeah.
like Roger Goodell has probably jacked his shit so raw, he's got to wear, I don't even know. It's just it. This is so good for
He's got I
the.
gotta lend him by Vaseline.
Yeah, there you go. Let's try his
Right. I mean,
Vaseline.
yeah. I mean, right at the time your Steelers Ravens thing is dying, Ben's turning this into the NFL's, like, oh, it's the NFL's oldest rivalry. No one else in the country
Well,
cares about it.
yeah,
Now they
now it's
will.
really the question is, can the Packers keep up?
Behind, yeah. I mean, I think that's what Ben knows is like they can be as mad as they want. They can put as much as they want on the next 2 games next year. I've got a playoff win. So, you know,
What they
until
don't
you go
have is
farther than us in the playoffs and finish higher than us in the standings, I don't care.
they got to figure out their coaching staff. They got two of their best players are still going to be hurt when the season starts. Like, they got their own situation to deal with now. So maybe don't worry about the Bears as much.
Maybe. I mean, you can if you want. I don't
But
care.
the way people react to the handshakes, to me, it's just like I said it on Blue Sky, but Ben might as well have just shot a fireball at LaFleur because people are acting like insane people over a quick handshake. Who cares? Like, it's some big thing. Like, your stupid fucking quarterback would scream into the camera, "I fucking own you," and that's okay, but this is not. Okay, sure. Holier than thou fucking assholes.
Yeah, that's completely what that's about.
Joke.
It is. It's
did you get, did you just get your own peppers hot again talking through this, Andrew? Because it sounds like it.
I did.
Hey, they're his peppers. He can do what he wants with them.
I'm trying to think the last time that's first of all, I guess some people have said that LaFleur's handshake in the first game was quick like that too.
Right.
And that's why Ben was giving it back to him. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't really care all that much. I was just trying to think the last time that there was.
It's a formality unless they're actually friends. So if they're not, then who gives a shit?
Right, right. And Harbaugh, in his first go around with San Francisco, didn't he have a thing with the handshakes with the Schwartz? Not Schwartz hockey, but the Schwartz, the defensive coordinator. When he was the head coach of Detroit, didn't they have like a handshake thing?
No one hate watches Kyle Shanahan the way you do, John. So we'll just have to take your word for this.
I think when it was Harbaugh and Schwartz, when Schwartz was Detroit's head coach and Harbaugh was at the Niners, they had like something where they like, but I think Harbaugh likes, yeah, Harbaugh like strong armed him or something in the handshake, like trying to like. I think that's what it was. I don't think it was a quick handshake like that. But anyways, that's the last time I could remember. There was something. Well, Belichick never really shook any of the coaches' hands either. He just kind of went off and did his own thing. But, I mean, he's, a weirdo anyways. But
the only people who care about handshakes are hockey fans.
Right.
You want to be that?
That's all the other thing. Who cares? It's not like every player goes through it. I mean, they greet each other after the game sometimes. Sometimes guys just run in the locker room. Who cares?
Right. They got friends.
I don't
want to
shake anybody's hand after a game.
Yeah. Out of here.
Does it mean anything?
I'm cold and I'm
tired.
It doesn't
mean anything at all. Yeah. Unless you have a personal relationship with another player or coach outside of that game, there's really no purpose in the handshake. It's just this.
If you need a respectful one, you got Jordan Love and Caleb Williams there.
Right. Yeah. There you go. They hug each other. Good job.
Ben is going to burn down the entire Shanahan Nepo baby tree one by one.
Oh, God. Now that is the dream.
They all got their jobs from daddy and he had to do everything the hard way and he is fucking pissed.
He's coming for their asses. Although he does have respect for Kyle. It seems like at least in the,
not really though.
Okay. All right. Well, not really. The read that I got from him, it seemed genuine, but maybe he was just,
he hates the whole tree. I'm telling you.
Okay. I believe you.
He's just,
I'm ready for it.
Openly hostile towards Mr.
All
Facial
them folks. Yeah, all them folks. McDonald, he's got no time for him, I'm sure.
No.
Or McDaniel.
He might be the Packers coach.
I mean, honestly, it's Wednesday night as
John
we're recording this.
Made.
The fact that that situation has not resolved itself yet tells me that there's a problem.
I mean, it's a problem either way, right? I mean, we're not doing Packers corner here.
No.
Like, there's a sliver of an avenue where they can bring LaFleur back, extend him, and they sort of do a revenge tour 26, right? They stay on message, chip on the shoulder, whatever cliche you want to use, and they use it as fuel, and they actually do what they were supposed to do. But this is a team and a coaching staff where as soon as the first thing goes wrong, it all goes wrong. So for them to hold that line, I would find extremely tough. If they replace him, I'm not going to sit here and tell you Matt LaFleur's a bad coach. He's obviously got his flaws, but they win 10 games every fucking year. Except for this one.
They win a lot of games.
So if you think they're going to roll someone in there with a new offense or new defense, whatever, and match what they've done, that's a real challenge too. While you have year two of Ben Johnson here, year five of Campbell in Detroit, whatever that means, KOC doing his thing in Minnesota, I mean, you're going up against established programs now, essentially. So you want to try that, go ahead. If you carry the metaphor out, there's no Joe Madden who comes in here with like the bona fides and just like snaps everyone to attention. People want to pretend it's John Harbaugh. It is not.
No, he's just an older LaFleur.
older, more conservative LaFleur.
Mm-hmm.
So you could try it. We welcome it.
Yeah. You're just hoping there that you get a guy who doesn't piss his pants every time there's a playoff game in that's happening.
Right. But I mean, you
that's
bring
also
LaFleur,
your quarterback who couldn't make throws.
You bring LaFleur all back right. And say you bring LaFleur back and they start 1-3 next year.
Well, let's say you hire a new coach and you start 0-2, and in the second game, a division rival beats you by 35 points. I guess you just dig yourself up out of that hole, don't you?
Yep.
That's what we
you
would
can,
do.
You can go do the Aaron Rodgers relax speech if you want, but no one's going to buy it this time. You don't have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, this is like John said, I guess, at the beginning. This is about as good as it's ever been in every single way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no bad part. It's crazy how sick this is.
Yeah, I mean, just to wrap up the LaFleur Packer corner side discussion, I think the biggest thing is that the Packers want to do like this 2-3 year extension, and he's looking around saying, "Why the hell would I only extend myself for that little? If I put myself on the open market, I could get 5, 6, 7 years easily."
But he'd probably be successful to a point anywhere else he goes.
Yeah, but the Packers are probably saying, well, we don't trust you enough to give you that many years. And then it's like, well, why am I even here then? if you need me to prove myself for another 2 to 3 years and that's all you're willing to give me, why would I stick it out for that? But who knows? He's weird and he'll probably decide to stay there. And I think that's fine because I think the blood is already in the water. Like you said, Sam, if everything doesn't go exactly according to plan, then it's going to become a very toxic very quickly. And he has this history now of failures and mm-hmm. historic failures.
Yeah, big time. I heard them saying Packers fans were like, you should sign a 2-year extension. And I think that's because they think they should be able to evaluate him after one more year.
Right.
Well, they only
fired if right. And get him fired if he doesn't pass snuff, which again, like John said, like you're telling a guy going into a year without his little Micah Parsons toy, probably without his defensive coordinator, who clearly isn't as good as everybody thinks, and without his best tight end. And you're saying not just make the playoffs, but you better win one, if not two games. Or else, sure. Why would he want to go back to that?
I mean,
right. Why wouldn't you just start over at that point with a new program and with a program of your choice, essentially?
And, yes, well, and 10 choices, basically.
The Bears will find themselves in this position, you know, one day down the road. But when you're paying a quarterback $55 million, you're winning the Super Bowl or you failed. Like, that's it. Like you're not progressing when you're paying a quarterback $55 million like that. You've chosen your guy. Everything's in place. You better go.
How many years into that contract is he too? Like it's not like it was signed last year.
It's a couple, right?
This is
his sixth season. I think this is the first year of that deal.
Right. He had the fifth year extension. So
you're right.
This is
the first year of a 4-year, $220 million contract.
So you got. Three more seasons.
Of right, you're not, if you you're sit not building down in a for room, those three seasons. You're like,
right. mm-hmm. If you sit down in the room and you say to a quarterback, we're going to pay you $55 million a year for 4 years, I think the expectation is we're winning at least one Super Bowl. Right?
How about a playoff game first? But yeah.
that's the deal.
The expectation is, yes, you should be in the Super Bowl. If not, I mean, bare minimum, you should be in the championship game every season.
Right.
We need you to win a non-Dallas playoff game.
How about this? How about not just win
Dallas playoff
game.
Games don't count.
How about get us a home playoff game so we can at least make some fucking money back on your stupid contract because you keep getting the seventh seed, so you're never playing at home. That's rough. That's
Oof.
Ugly.
Yeah.
They haven't won the division since 2021.
Since Aaron left.
They mm-hmm. handed Love that contract. They got passed by the Lions. And now they're passed by the Bears.
And the Vikings had that 1 year.
And the Vikings had that 1 year.
And now the Bears have had that 1 year. So, disaster for them in every way.
And we may eat these words. Whatever. I'm having my fun now.
I don't think
so. Yeah, we may, but I don't. Yeah, I have a hard time believing it. It would have to be something so unexpected and so against everything what we've seen. It would be like Eberflus winning 10 games in a season.
The coach here has shown us what he could do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a reason to sit here and think that it's just going to go back to dog shit next year.
I meant LaFleur turning it around to be winning 15 games next year or whatever, and then running through the gamut, which is basically what he's going to have to do to keep the Wolves at bay up there.
Parsons coming back. First of all, Parsons clearly was the entire defense, but him coming back, even if he does come back, he's not going to be nearly 100%. Rashawn Gary had the same injury, and he turned into dog shit after that. I mean, this is a bad injury for an edge rusher. He might be better than most edge rushers still, but it's going to be tough sledding up there. I could predict a lot of people in the offseason when we get to the summer putting the Packers in fourth place when they shake out the division. Maybe the Vikings are still terrible, but
I could see a lot of them making them offseason champions too.
Yeah,
they like to.
Right.
Yeah, but genuinely, I felt like coming into the season, like it was a fair argument. You could easily see it. I don't know what they do this offseason that changes that for the better. I don't see it.
Let's pivot from looking back to looking forward.
Because the past is for cowards and losers, Mike.
The past is for cowards and losers, gang. Good, Mike. I said to the group that there has never been a Bears playoff game. And again, it's not that long a list where I have felt more relaxed because it's not that I don't care. I want them to win. I think it'd be great if they win. But if they lose, unless they lose in like some stupid, heartbreaking fashion, which they totally could, but if they lose, I can't sit here and say, oh, they've fallen short of expectations or they really lost out on something. They're not supposed to be here. And even though the Rams are lower seeded and find a way to make games harder than they need to and lose some of them, you know, for most of the season, everyone's like, well, there's your Super Bowl favorite. So, you know, I can't. It's like, it's not quite house money, but it's like how money. You know, it's got the H, O, and U. If it doesn't have the S and the E, it'll never be
this relaxing going into a playoff game.
No, I mean, starting next year, it's everything or bust.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of want to enjoy them, you know, being national spotlight again, home playoff game, crowd going nuts.
Chris Collinsworth still somehow talking about Jordan Love and Aaron
right,
Rodgers.
And he gets to talk about Matthew Stafford, so that's good for him.
Collinsworth, is he an EPA freak? I feel like he's a closeted one, but
I don't think he's an analytic freak. He watches too much film to be a freak.
But he's obsessed with the Caleb completion percentage too, because he brought it up during the San Francisco game. He kept talking about how this is not a throw that a championship caliber quarterback would miss.
Right, the one running
which
back
is funny
on
because
his back foot.
I don't know. Yeah, does he say that about Josh Allen when Josh Allen missed that throw against the Eagles? Did he say that's a miss that a championship caliber quarterback can't miss? But anyways, I digress.
I mean, we have rabbit ears for this stuff, but
we do. But I think the really fun part about this Bears team, about Caleb Williams, is how they are sort of going against the grain in terms of what everybody thinks is a normal a way to win football games or be successful, which is, you know, we've become slaves to the check down merchant bitch quarterback, to quote Andrew.
Check down bitch merchant.
Bitch merchant? Okay, sorry. I screwed up the order of it.
And bitch Merton Hanks.
And bitch Merton Hanks with his long neck.
And bitch Matt Merton.
And like we've said, like Ben is just not the and Caleb is clearly his disciple. They're not looking for 1 yard gains or to pick up 3-4 yards. I mean, there's certainly moments in the game when they do that Caleb is just looking to move some yards and get a positive play. But for the most part, they are looking for those explosives, for the chunk plays. That's what they're always hunting for.
Even the runs are designed to be chunk plays.
If that means that he's going to throw two incompletions in a row, so be it. They don't care, and it works for them. And I think it's going to continue to work for them for the remainder of the season. So that's why I would like to see them go a little bit further, because it would just be nice that it'll just be a little kind of dig at these EPA perverts that think that that's the end-all be-all for why you're successful in the NFL, and it's just not. So that's why I'd like to see them move on, but it's not something I'm hugely invested in. Like you said, Sam, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it, and certainly while the game is going on, I'm going to want them to win. But I think it'll be
I mean,
that's essentially
normally
it,
normally when the Bears play a team like the Rams, I'm just like, oh God, we're just so outgunned at coach, you know, like we're gonna get out game planned here, you know, like and.
Oh no, he's gonna tear what's left of the Bears defense to ribbons if Stafford's finger can hold up,
or they don't freak out because it's cold, which they might. He's done it before. But like it's like okay, at least it's on equal footing. Maybe the Bears just don't have the horses, but it's not like they're gonna just get outsmarted. The Rams have pedigree. They've been around it for years now. Like, this is not the team the Bears are supposed to beat in the playoffs. But the thing is, they might. What's the spread?
Last I think it opened at four and a half. But
4.5, yeah.
I don't know if it's still there or not.
I mean, means Vegas doesn't think it's going to be a blowout.
Also, Vegas really, really wants that Chicago meatball.
No, they want the Chicago meatball money. Yeah, that's for sure. But
I have a good feeling about it. I hate saying it because it's not like me to do that. But
well, this is the new Bears, right? You're allowed to have good feelings now.
Well, I am if it's not a Packers game. If it's a Packers game, I feel bad the whole time.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think maybe most excited about them not playing an NFC North team this weekend.
Yes, because you don't have to hear about what Rams fans think ever. So
right.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. If they lose, it would suck, but I don't have to go online and be like, oh, the Rams fans are all torqued up. I don't give a shit.
Who even celebrity wise, like being in LA for eons off and on, who do they even have?
I don't know. I don't give a shit.
There's no footprint online either of their
not really
shit friend
no.
fan.
Exactly. It's great.
It's great.
This is the number. This is the most. Yeah, this is the most ideal team to lose to if you're a person on the internet.
Or the Chargers.
Yeah.
But no one's losing.
They have even.
But no one's losing to the Chargers. You can't lose the Chargers. They have no pedigree.
They won't let you.
Right. Yeah, yeah. You can't lose the Chargers.
It can't happen.
The Patriots tried, and they couldn't do it.
Didn't even really come close. I mean, they really made an effort of it, and they still won by two scores.
Sam, I think
I'm being meatball here because I like Slack said earlier, I want to see the offense put together 40 minutes. You know, not just wait. If they put together, it'd be great if they put together like mostly a full game. And if they still lose then, it's like, just not ready yet. You know, it's not cooked.
Does a full game mean that they score like 85 points?
I mean, no, because the game situation changes, right? Like if you put, unless the Rams are also putting up a shit ton of points, but like.
I think is like the Browns game or.
Yeah.
Basically the Niners game. No, the Niners game too.
Basically the Niners game.
Well, that's a full game on offense.
Well, it's too much to ask for them to play a full game on both sides of the ball. Are you kidding?
So the Niners game, Ben Johnson specifically called out their slow start. So they did not play a full game in a game where they scored 38 points.
I mean, I hate to think what his fast start looks like.
I'm telling you, that's the thing. Like, I think for Ben Johnson, it's as simple as we have to outscore them. And if we do, then that's good. I don't know. I think, you know, it's funny too, because I feel like you could kind of count on the first 10 or 15 plays being scripted and looking real clean, but we haven't really had that in a while.
No, they seem to screw up the first drive at the end.
Exactly. The second Green Bay
game.
That's
true.
Week 16, they took it 80 yards and then did the direct snap fumble that cost them.
Right. And this week, too, they got the field goal, which didn't feel good enough at the time anyway, but they did score.
Didn't they blow a fourth down against Detroit after moving the ball on the first drive?
Yes, they did, because Detroit did the same thing on their drive.
Right.
Yeah, they traded those.
Yeah, I mean, it's likely that this game will probably look a lot like the Carolina game for the Rams, where they jump out to an early lead and then special teams start fucking up and their offense goes away. But if they do that against the Bears, they're going to lose.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've been doing it for weeks.
Right.
Sorry, John.
Yeah, in Seattle. No, that's exactly what I was going to say. They coughed up that lead in Seattle and quite easily, yeah. I might add.
If you're coughing up leads to Carolina, I'm sorry. Bryce Young is bad. Like, bad. You can't be giving up that many points to that guy. There's so much to be had here. I think the Rams are being favored based on their big numbers, their coach,
and the Bears' defense is, let's say, erratic at best.
That's fine. I don't think the Rams are going to be able to stop the Bears from scoring.
Well, and also, again, we've seen this team and this play. We've seen Stafford give it away, and B, like, and literally McVay have brain freeze. Here are the winner.
Eberflus. Come on, man. And that team ended up losing to the Eagles, I think, in the conference final, if I'm not mistaken.
Divisional round.
Okay, they lost. It was a close game.
They lost because it was snowing.
Right, they lost because it was snowing.
It was a two-score game until Sunday. Right, it was a two-score game until the last 3 minutes, and then Detroit.
He's still a Lions, as far as I'm concerned.
L.A. scored a touchdown to make it whatever, and then Philadelphia, I don't think, ever gave the ball back.
I thought Stafford had a chance to tie it or something, but maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, it was a good game. But yeah, that team, the Eberflus beat. So you make your own conclusions.
Do I sense Slack as calling a Bears win here?
I am calling a Bears win. I think the Bears are going to win.
There you go.
I haven't said that in a bit.
Ever. No.
Ever. 0-17.
In fact,
it's not the regular season anymore, is it?
No, you're free to do as you please.
I have zero feeling about it, Sam. I don't know where this is going to go. I could easily see LA having a very difficult time in the elements and the conditions, specifically Stafford. I think this is one of the things I was going to get to, because, you know, bear weather is a thing now. Ben has made bear weather a cool thing.
He's going to change bear weather back to being good. Bears. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing when it comes to teams that have a difficult time in the conditions, it always goes back to the quarterback and who that quarterback is and what their history is in the elements. And Stafford is an up and down guy. I think he's 5-7 or something in Chicago, and then something like 1-9 in temperatures below freezing over his last 10. So that is where the track record. I feel like that's where teams will struggle. Is if your quarterback's bad in those elements, then you're probably not going to have a great game. So that's something I think that why everybody's
getting. They can run the ball. They're pretty good at it. But
yeah, that's true. But
I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, like the Bears have been carved up by similarly as good offenses this year and recently, in fact, and even by bad offenses. I mean, they got carved up by Joe Flacco. We've watched it happen. So it's not like something they're watching and you're going, I can't believe this is happening.
They're at least healthier than that now.
Hey, and you know what? Here's another nice piece of information. The Rams will probably score a lot quicker than the Packers did. So the Bears will get the ball back reasonably quick.
It reminds me what I wanted to include, and this is sort of for Matt because he's the same kind of guy and loves my pop culture references. But the way
I love your pop culture references.
As the Bears won, and I was thinking about, you know, the miracle wins and how they do things. And I one of the climactic scenes in Michael Clayton, when he confronts him in the alley, and he says, "You know exactly where this goes." And he goes, "No, no, I don't know where this goes. That's why it's so exciting." And that's how I felt about the Bears pretty much since the Giants game. Like, since it was just like, God, they're just, none of this is going to make any sense. We're just going to ride this out. Maybe the Vikings game, you know, they're just, it often doesn't look good. And they're weird and they malfunction and then they win. You know, and it's so new. I don't know how this goes. Like, you sit there and you go, yeah, I mean, they could go to the Super Bowl. They could get blown out someday. It's everything in between. That's what's, you know, every Bears team before this, I feel like I had a pretty solid feel of. Like, even the 2018 team, which we all loved and we had so much fun that year. We were like, there's a ceiling to this, you know, because we kind of know our quarterback sucks.
Yeah, correct.
As good as that defense was, like, I didn't.
He was a checkdown bitch merchant for sure.
He was a checkdown bitch merchant. Like, I thought they would beat the Eagles. You know, I was really disappointed that they didn't.
Yeah.
You know, but like when they ran into the Rams or they'd run into the Patriots or something, you'd be like, oh man, that's gonna be tough. But this one, I don't know. I don't think anyone does.
I see this sort of like this. I can see a 2006 parallel where they get all the way to the Super Bowl and it's Josh Allen, and Josh Allen just kind of beats them.
Yeah, but Josh Allen doesn't have the weapons of Peyton Manning.
No, he also doesn't have a defense. I genuinely, Sam, I think the bottom line is that there's no real schedule, and if you say there is one, you're just coping or making something up. Go win the Super Bowl now. Why fucking wait?
I mean, it's there.
Just do it.
You know.
Can you imagine how these guys must feel right now? I saw a quote from Montez Sweat today on YouTube or whatever, and it was him saying, he said, "That was the best crowd I've ever played in front of in any football game in my life." And he said, "This is the most fun I've ever had playing football." Can you imagine how bad it's been for him since till now?
Yeah.
Like, just dog shit Washington team, and then gets traded to a dog shit Bears team.
Well, I mean, at least the dog shit Bears team paid him.
Then he got that atmosphere on Saturday.
Yeah, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Byard, he's been here for a while, man. He's seen some awful teams.
Well, he's only been here for 2 years, but he was on some awful Titans teams.
Like, yeah, man, it's cool. It's really cool. I just think,
go ahead.
God, I don't want to say something nice about Ryan Pohl, so I'm just going to stop.
Did you see, Andrew, that apparently Case Keenum addressed the team?
I just
week?
Saw that. Yes.
So he apparently he was.
It's like they brought all these guys in who have lived these situations before.
Right. Right. So because Case Keenum
I did not see the Case Keenum stuff. What was?
Okay. So since Case Keenum was the quarterback at the Vikings during the Minneapolis Miracle, he addressed the team this week about not having a letdown, and as great and as exciting as that win was versus Green Bay, it's over and you got to move on, because he said that he felt that his team the last time had a great shot to go to the Super Bowl and then lost to Philadelphia by 31.
Yeah, they got murdered.
Right, because he felt like a lot of guys still had their heads in the cloud from the win the previous week, and kind of thought that everything was just going to roll for him from there. So again, yeah, it's interesting. Like with Joe Tooney and Grady Jarrett for the lean on that for that comeback last week, and now you also have the guy there who spearheaded a miracle moment in a previous playoff game to tell you about here's how not to fuck up in your next game.
Nice.
And they still might. But it's still,
you know, they lost after the last Packers win. Not, you know, the close. You know, it's not like they weren't there. You know, I mean,
and they also had the plague. Let's not forget.
Yeah,
had the
plague. They gave it to the Hawks. Apparently,
There's to quote John once again, "Don't make me sit through another first half like that, please."
I'm resigned to my fate at this point, Andrew.
Yeah, this is what you're gonna get. That's how it works. Now.
It's reminding me of like. The 2005 World Series, I expected every game, the next game, that the Sox were going to just kind of pile it on Houston and win easily. And every game was a complete nail biter all the way through the end. So I'm not going to think that the Bears are going to put a complete game together and have a nice, easy, comfortable win. I think we
they
got that in the field.
They can't be that bad in the first half because the Rams will put up 28. They're not going to take their time. You know, if you keep giving them opportunities, they'll put it out of reach.
Yeah.
They don't shit them, lose their heads in the red zone, or, you know, like the Packers did the first time, or just take their time and only put up, you know, or miss field goals or all that. I mean, maybe they will because it's cold, but.
I think getting out of the NFC North is going to be refreshing because those divisional games are just – it's just – they're awful.
Yeah.
They're awful. Doesn't matter who you play. Doesn't matter what their record is. It is going to be painful. And nothing makes sense. You know, you look at Green Bay's history against the run this year. Well, they had no issues stopping the Bears' running attack through 3.5 quarters. Detroit was just a complete dog shit pass defense, and all of a sudden the Bears couldn't move the ball more than 6 yards a pass. So there's just weird outcomes whenever you play a divisional team. Your opponent always gets up for it in ways that just other teams don't, and there's a familiarity that other teams just don't have with you. So it'll be – I don't think it's going to be one of those halves. I think we saw that because – They were trending that way because the Bears had so many divisional games at the end of the season because of the way the schedule fell. I think that was a big reason why we saw a lot of those really bad first halves. Again, don't blame me if they score 3 points and have 60 yards of a total offense on Sunday.
Oh, I'm blaming you. I'm never speaking to you again.
Yeah, there you go.
Podcast over.
Mm-hmm.
Phone call over. All right, well, let's get to the Cretans. I've got a few lined up here.
Oh, let me read my guy first.
Okay.
Billy G, he asks, longtime guy. Haven't submitted in a while. Also, go Bears, all caps. Al Michaels made a comment about Soldier Field shaking from the noise, which I experienced week 16 against Green Bay as well. My question is, what is the loudest moment / game you all experienced?
Mine is, I was actually across the street when Kerry Wood hit the home run in 2003.
That must have been pretty loud.
That was insane.
Liverpool Champions League game in 2001. They had to win 2-0 and they did. That was probably the loudest. Loudest here. It's in the book. When they scored 4 goals in less than 2 minutes against the Blues, and I nearly got thrown on the ice. That was probably the loudest.
Was that a playoff game or was that a regular season?
That was a regular season game, but it was the old stadium. When right. Joe Murphy scored in the last minute against the Avalanche in 96 to tie game 6, which they eventually lost in double
right.
overtime.
Did it get that loud? I don't remember it being deafening.
Yeah, well,
there.
I mean, he scored the last minute to save the season, so it was...
Right.
That's the first time I've ever hugged someone for a sporting event. Luckily, it was my brother. He was there, so...
Well, wasn't me. We were in this...
Wasn't
we
you. Wasn't you yet. Yeah. Hopefully, that's still coming in this postseason run, but...
I've got a Dark Horse contender from our Ute. As a small child, I was very, very nervous. I'm sure anyone that knows me will be absolutely shocked to hear that. So I had to go outside and shoot hoops in the driveway during Game 6 of the Phoenix Suns series with the Bull. And I heard I didn't see the Paxton 3 and the end of it but I did hear the entire block in Elgin. Yeah.
Those are always fun videos now that you hear.
I heard
South Loop.
Yeah, 1993, June, windows open on Corley Drive in the Parkwood subdivision of Elgin, hearing literally the entire block just scream. And then I left the basketball. They probably rolled down the driveway and into the street, and I ran back in to see, like, Horace Grant had already been Johnson, and it was already over.
Well, you all were at Game 5 against Nashville, too, wasn't that?
Yeah,
I remember
that
being a very...
Yeah, that's there.
Sure.
The Also, honestly, November of 2009, down 5-0 to Calgary that we were at, Sam.
Yeah. I would say the host of
that was
game
at Seabrook and OT.
That game mm-hmm. five moment was Trump. Keith's goal against the Lightning, that was probably the loudest I've heard the United Center.
What, where he dangled Cedric Paquette and he's...
Well, he got around him, yeah, scored his own rebound. Because the building was obviously on tilt because it was the first time they could clinch at home, but it had been kind of a frustrating opening. You know, I think he scored late in the second, so...
That would have been game
minutes.
Six, then.
Yeah. So there was a huge release there. That was probably pretty loud. When Kane scored the clincher, it was just as loud. So those are my ones. But yeah, the Anfield one for the Champions League is still, just a different kind of noise, honestly. But those are my list. Is that the only one, John, you have?
Yeah, it's the only one. I think for me, I would probably have to go back to the old stadium. I think it was game 5 against the North Stars where they put it on them.
Right.
And that was, we had seats along the glass for that one. And that was about as loud as it got.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't have a Soldier Field one. The only Soldier Field one I have actually is the playoff game against Seattle, but it was a Devin Hester return that got called back.
The building, I was at the, we talked about it on the podcast. I was at the one in, I think in 2022 where they beat Detroit when it was Ben and Campbell and the Lions were leading the division at that point. It got pretty loud at that one when Fields hit DJ on the drawn off offsides.
Right.
But I imagine that it was nothing compared to what it was like.
Right.
Saturday.
Yeah, those are the ones. I mean, you know, it's obviously game 5 of the World Series at Wrigley. That's, you know, it's on the list. I remember it as Rockets for Wrigley, but I don't remember like my ears ringing. The game 3 against the Cardinals where they hit like 12 home runs. That one was pretty loud, but I don't have to think about that one for a while. But anyway, our guy Brendan chimed in a couple days ago. He wanted to get in early. Excluding the highlights, meaning 2 touchdowns, big stops, whatever, was there a player moment on the field that especially jumped out to you? For me, it's Luther Burden blocking 2 defenders to spring Menungai, or Caleb blocking better than Young Favre after Swift reversed field. You know, as the guys here know, I had to come home and watch the replay because the second half was just such a blur. Like, it all kind of blended together. Obviously, we've talked about the 4th and 8th throw, that's the first time I thought something would happen. So I guess that's the one for me, but I throw it open to the floor.
Yeah, I was like, the specifics are blurry at best for me. I was in vacation mode, so I couldn't tell you like at what moment. Like, for me, I didn't go through as much of the despair in the first half because, again, I was just too busy. But like getting settled in and running the store, like whatever, no one gives a shit. But like, I kind of felt like they'd at least make a game out of it, and indeed they did. So like, I don't know, but yeah, the actual specifics. You know what? Maybe it was. I forget with the first blown timeout very early, even before anything really kind of started to get any momentum. Felt like, you know, that could come back to bite them in the ass. And indeed it did.
John Andrew?
What's the exact question?
It was there a moment other than the obvious moments from Sunday that jumped out at you that told you, you know, that either were just a highlight for you or kind of indicated, okay, something special is going to happen here?
Yeah, there's just too many. I think I'll give the broader, not moment, but thing that I think to take away from it was Colston Loveland just being fucking incredible.
Yeah, like I feel good about that.
They could not stop him from doing whatever he wanted the whole time. It's so insane that we have a guy like that now.
I don't get a lot of right about football off seasons and football drafts, but I know I said when the Bears took him, and I said if you were
Sam's
excited about
Michigan.
Tyler Warren, you should be excited about Colston Loveland. And I was
Right.
right.
It's not one of those like one guy's good, one guy's bad, but
No, they're
Loveland is
both good.
clearly a good pick.
Right. It's like that one I knew. Yeah. If they take guys from Michigan, I have some sense of what they're getting.
We all have David Terrell scar tissue.
Indeed. John, is there anything else you want to add?
I would say the McManus missed extra point when it went 27, when it got stuck at 27-16. That was when it
That's when
kind
you
of
knew.
hit me like, yeah, this they're just going to continue to give the Bears every opportunity to win this game, no matter what happens. So I mean, the fact that they he, you know that was okay. Now all they need is a field goal on this next drive, and they can move the ball in less than 2 minutes and still have time to hold them and get the ball back. And then, yeah, everything just worked out afterwards. But when he missed that extra point, that was, to me, that's when I knew that it was in the air. Blood was in the water.
Fernando.
Blood was in the water. It was not going to end well for Green Bay.
Mason
But
Rudolph
obviously, I
did.
didn't feel 100% confidence in that, but it was
Right,
just
but.
the way that it was rolling out, that it just they were making too many mistakes and leaving the door open too many damn times for it not to matter.
I immediately watched the LaFleur post-game press conference because, of course. They have to ask him about, is he think he'll be back next year? And he's like, I feel so bad for these guys. Like, really? You didn't have anything to do with that? Like, it just happened to those guys?
That's him bus
Oh,
tossing his
man.
players.
It's like, oh,
They
I feel
fucked
so
up.
shitty for the players that this bad thing happened to. Okay, not your fault. Didn't have anything to have.
Clearly not.
Anyway, Mason Brew Dave asks us to take a left turn real quick, which we can do. Are Moore and Lardis potentially more than just third liners? Moore's speed and quickness jumps out at you, and he's only 20. Lardis seems to have a real NHL shot. And second, Blackhawk, you love to hate a player you loathe from 1990 to now. Can't pick Foligno. Second part first, Adam Creighton was my first true hated Hawk.
Adrian Acoin.
Adrian Acoin for Fleck, who's for most people. I'm trying to remember the one we had in the 90s. Cam Russell, maybe?
Entirely different era.
I thought he sucked. And he did suck.
He did.
Keith Brown.
Oh, Jesus. Jeff Hackett.
Gerald
I hated Jeff Hackett.
Diddick for me.
Ugh. Lyle
Nasty.
He wasn't here very
Nasty
long,
guy.
but it was enough. It was enough of
Fuck
time
him.
that As
He's a
far as
Canuck.
I still think about that breakaway he fucking biffed in the Western Conference Finals. I think in game one or two, he came out of the penalty box and had a breakaway, probably from not a guy within 100 feet of him, and he just shot it at Mike Vernon. Not even close.
I hated Bob Probert when he was on the Hawks, too. I didn't think any of that was cute or redeeming or like whatever. I thought it was a complete waste of everyone's fucking time, and indeed it was.
And indeed it was.
Dan Carcillo also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John Scott, I don't care. Everyone told me I hated fun at the time. Fuck you. I was right. John Scott
You were right.
sucks,
On the power
asshole.
play in the playoffs, no. Anytime someone wants to tell me Joe Quenneville's the greatest coach of all time, John Scott on the power play in the playoffs. That's all I have to say. As far as Moore and Lardis, I think Lardis does have a chance to be more than a third liner because he does have a sense that you can't teach. I will say about Oliver Moore, the easiest thing to notice is when a guy is fast and it can fool you into thinking he's better than he is. That being said, I think Moore is a good player, and I think him having being on a third line would be a neat weapon to have, but I don't think you can count on him for more
He's
than eight.
had a little bit more finish lately, rather than shit just like bouncing off of him from being in front or whatever. Like he's shown
But I don't.
some actual like
And
chop to
vision
him.
too, but I don't see a guy that gets you more than 18 to 20 goals a year.
Which is fine. That's a
It's fine.
they need a zillion guys like that.
Yeah. Well, Slack had to go take care of his baby Rooney Tunes, so after the Bregman signing, his Cubs corner unbanned. For me, it is, but probably not for Slack.
Yeah, no, Sam, you're still banned. I'll speak on
I'm
behalf of
banned.
management.
John will handle the
Yeah,
Cubs talk from now
yeah,
on.
yeah.
Matt, an internet friend, what's your favorite meatball take that you actually believe yourself? Mine is that with a healthy Tommy Harris and Mike Brown, the Bears win the Super Bowl against the Colts. I believe that one, actually.
By 40 points.
I'm sort of with John. If Tony Amani doesn't get hurt in 96, they beat the Avalanche.
And so it has to be a hypothetical scenario or just like basic tenets of our personhood, like run the damn ball.
I mean, it says meatball take, but then he gives a hypothetical as an example, so I'm not sure. I'm trying
I
to
think
think of
the Avalanche series is a good one.
that is
That's
a
a good
good
one to
one.
follow
I'm
up.
trying to
Yeah.
think of, I mean, I'm sure I have tons of Cubs ones, but I'm trying, what was it? Was some about Ryan. Well, I mean, if they didn't start, if Lou had been awake in 2008, they could still beat the Dodgers, and after he pulled Ryan, if he pulled Ryan Dempster, but he wasn't, so it didn't matter. I'm trying to think. I don't know. I'll have to ruminate on that one. But the Amani one and yours about Tommy Harris and Mike Brown, that one sticks with me because that seems right.
Well, completely changed that defense, specifically Tommy Harris.
Oh, Tommy Harris was the big loss. I mean, Mike Brown, he could only ever stay healthy for like 2 weeks. So, not a golfer. Matt, you'll have to help me out on this one. What is the backstory behind the Vancouver Femdom reference?
No
You know, I've
idea.
been
I
making
can't.
it so long, I don't actually really remember the origin. Was it just someone on Twitter liked something we wrote or they responded? I can't.
It's
Matt, do you remember?
it was just a whatever, and then you looked at the profile and it just said that, the again, because Slack's not here and he's the resident kink shamer, this is actually quite fortuitous.
Yeah,
So
it was something like we posted an article. This is the old website. We posted an article on Twitter with the link, and you get a bunch of likes or retweets or whatever. And I just happened to retweet or look at the profile of one, and it was like, Vancouver's leading femdom, or the group for Vancouver femdom, or something like that. But I don't remember the exact details, but it was something like that.
It was a minor thing that we took and ran with and tried to make a bit, and indeed we did. Imagine that.
Imagine we did. Last one I have, Cliff D. John, this one you can officially answer. The Bears win on Sunday. Well, the Bears have officially broken their primetime TV curse.
Yes.
I'd have to agree because that they beat Washington. They didn't beat San Francisco.
Gave them
Close
hell,
though,
though.
but they beat the Packers
They didn't look
twice.
no, the threshold was not even wins or losses. The curse is look like assholes and embarrass us as a complete municipality,
And they've passed that.
which they have done in victory more times than probably any team in the history of sports. Like where they've won and it doesn't look like the sport everyone else is playing.
That's all I have. We don't have any in the main feed, correct?
No, I've just got one real quick one
Okay.
from longtime guy Mike Presnowski. He has a commute corner question. Do any of you have a non-weather related Chicago driving experience that you find easy that most find difficult? I regularly get on the Kennedy southbound at Lake Street on the left side and get all the way over to get on the right to, in time to jump on the Eisenhower.
No, because I don't commute, so I can't help you.
My entire commuting life is misery. Nothing is easy. Everything is earned.
Right.
The only
Yeah. No, I don't have anything. Same.
time the traffic's easy is when it's at 1:30 in the morning after a beer league game at Johnny's.
Yeah. And
Yeah,
even then.
Play
I
beer league hockey.
still.
That's how you can get the luxury lanes on the Kennedy or anything else.
I guess I find drives up the Edens somewhat soothing because it's kind of pretty, but I don't, I had to do it regularly when my dog, taking my dog up to the vet up there, but do it anymore. And, you know, when it gets jammed, it's kind of as annoying as anything else. But I guess I get less annoyed on that than I do the Kennedy. But yeah, no, I, you know, our traffic sucks and we need a congestion tax and we could do that whole show some other time. All right. Well, Slack had to go take care of his baby. So for him, for John, for Matt, I am Sam. Thank you so much for listening, for downloading, and what's the other one?
Texting.
Reviewing. Sexting.
Texting.
Please rate, review, and share. And subscribe to the newsletter. Until next week, and we will be back next week, whatever happens Sunday, Top Guys out.